Technorama episode 474, Turn the Corner.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'd like to file a patent for this thing we call Technorama. Where's the nearest patent clerk?
Over there, in the media corner.
He looks like Albert Einstein.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
$10,000 for a patent?
I didn't think we were worth that. We better get some more Patreons.
Craig's putting in some... Yeah, we better. You know what? Let's just go open license on this thing.
Yeah, open source. Yay!
Welcome to Technorama. This is... Oh, wait, you know, I forgot to hit the stream. Oops.
That's okay.
Stream. There.
Hi, stream.
You just missed the punchline to the media corner, but you can listen to it on podcast form later.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's the hook.
That's what happens when I don't have a video engineer. I'm sitting here punching buttons all... Well, not quite by my lonesome. Let's finish the intro. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is the wonderful Craig. How are you?
I'm slightly inebriated, a little bit tongue-burning with the wings, and I'm feeling better.
Beer and wings. That's right. A nice thing. We also have, joining us from TG Geeks, is...
Ben Raginson.
He's back.
I'm back. And Craig, you had me at slightly inebriated.
and gluten-free.
Oh, sod the gluten-free. I'm just all for this slightly inebriated. Looking for some of that this Friday.
I've been doing it wrong. I thought it was glutton-free.
Glutton-free.
Darn it.
Oh, I'm totally free of the glutton-free.
We have a lot coming up in this show. We have Singing the Blues, a la Blues Brothers. We have xenophobia. I didn't quite spell that right here. And God doesn't do lawsuits. You figure it out. We'll be right back.
Oh, my CPU left me.
Oh, man. You know, the problem with working from home is there's nobody to talk to. I need to get out and socialize with someone other than the customers at the grocery store. Let me see if Terry's around.
Hello.
Hey, Terry, want to grab some pizza and watch the ball game tonight?
Sorry, man. Can't. My daughter's got a concert.
Yeah, oh, okay. That's cool. Bye. Let me see if Sam's around.
Hello?
Hey, Sam, want to play COD later?
No can do. My girlfriend and I are visiting her parents.
No friends again? Feel like you haven't got any connections? Take a look at Amazon Friend. Amazon Friend is not a dating site. There's no commitment. Just choose your friend from a wide selection of options and the duration, and your friend will show up. Options include male or female, listener or talker, quiet or exuberant, and many more. Prime members get free delivery. Don't forget to check out Amazon Friend now. There's even a dash button. Amazon Friend. We're there for you.
I need a friend now.
Where's my dash button?
Sign up for friend face.
Pretty sad if you have to have a dash button for a friend.
Yeah.
That's what working from home inspires.
Yeah, I needed one dash of those button. Today.
We don't have any feedback for you, so we're just going to go right into the history thing.
Yeah, forget you.
Should we? No, we don't forget you. We know you're still out there, still listening and watching.
Hello. Hey, hold a minute.
All right.
Are you out there?
Roll your D20, Craig.
Oh.
I got a 15.
Wait a second. I got a 19.
Ooh. You have to roll for crit.
Whoa.
That's all right.
All right. Here we go. I got a 17.
Oh, okay. So.
Is it high to low or low to high?
It's high to low.
Okay. So I'm first and then Craig second and then you.
Yeah. I like that.
Ben, Craig, Chuck. Okay. I'm going to start the music and we'll see what happens after that.
So, okay.
Go for it, sir.
On this day in history for May 11th, 2016, this is the 132nd day of the year of the Gregorian calendar. There are 234 days remaining in 2016. I like this. 234. I like that. It was on this date in 330 BC or AD. I'm not quite sure. I want it to be BC, really. That Byzantium was renamed Nova Roma. I'm a poet and don't even know it. During a dedication ceremony, but it is more popularly referred to as Constantinople.
I thought Byzantium was an element on the periodic table.
It might be.
Go, Craig.
May 11th, 868, a copy of the Diamond Sutra is printed in China, making it the oldest known printed book.
Not to be confused with the Kama Sutra.
Not the Kama Sutra, you're right.
That's what I was thinking of.
That same date in 1792, Captain Robert Gray becomes the first documented white person to sail into the Columbia River. Where the white women at?
Yeah. May 11th, 1820, HMS Beagle, the ship that will take Charles Darwin on his scientific voyage, is launched.
And 158 years ago today, Minnesota is admitted as the 32nd U.S. state. There was much rejoicing.
Wasn't Arizona the last of the continental United States? Aren't we the 48th?
I think we are.
I think we are.
Yeah. I'm one of the originals, buddy. Get used to it.
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is founded 89 years ago today.
And it was 44 years ago today that the United States performs nuclear tests at the Nevada test site, which is part of the series Operation Grommet and Operation Toggle.
Look, Grommet, it's cheese.
Toggle. Click, 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 click. 29 years ago today, in Baltimore, the first heart-lung transplant takes place. The surgery is performed by Dr. Bruce Wrights of the Stanford University School of Medicine.
It didn't say who it was or whether they lived or died. It just took place.
Yeah.
Redacted.
Deep Blue, a chess-playing supercomputer, defeats Garry Kasparov in the last game of the rematch, becoming the first computer to beat a world champion chess player in a classic match format 19 years ago today.
19 years ago. Imagine it'd be like today.
Ooh, they'd have to go up. Wait, what's the one on Jeopardy? Watson?
Watson.
Watson, yeah.
Watson might kick his butt.
He beat it. He won a champion at some point.
Would you like to play a game?
Yeah. And happy birthday goes out on this day to German physician, physiologist, and anthropologist Johann Friedrich Blumenbach, born on this date in 1752.
Nicely done.
And also born on this date in 1871, Frank Schlesinger, American astronomer and author.
Actor-comedian Phil Silvers was born in 1911.
What's so funny? Are you laughing at me?
I got the easy one.
Yeah. And the man who played Mad Jack on Grizzly Adams and Uncle Jesse from The Dukes of Hazzard, actor Denver Pyle, would have been 96 today.
96.
Yeah.
Wow. Russian-American mathematician and theorist Eugene Deakin was born May 11th, 1924.
Nicely done with the Russian name this week.
Yes, thank you.
Born that same day and year, Antony Hewish, English astronomer and academic.
Oh, this sucks. May 11th, 1930 is the birthday of Edsger W.
Dijkstra.
Okay. Dutch computer scientist and academic, co-developed THE multi-programming system.
Yeah, because we all know what the is.
Yeah.
Turning 82 today, the man behind Labatt's beer, Arthur Labatt.
Arthur.
That's what I said.
He's an author.
Author.
Arthur. There's an R in there. Arthur.
Go back and listen.
It's a North Carolina accent.
He can't pronounce Canadian.
Good thing I'm from South Carolina.
And finally, one of the original MTV VJs, Martha Quinn, is 57. You can hear her on 80s on 8 on Sirius XM.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Nina Blackwood sounds like she's been chain smoking a little too long.
A little bit.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for May 11, 2016. I think I know it's my grandfather's birthday today, but I forgot how old he is. He'd be 100 and something. Let's see. My dad's 82. He'd be like 111. We're done. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Send the band out.
Do math later.
Math is hard. All righty. Where are we? We are in the news.
Let's pick one. Everyone. Who likes good news, everyone? Then good news, everyone.
I wish they were still making that. So
I gotta do this one. I'm gonna do this one.
Okay, follow up story.
Yes, a bit of bad news. The fun
for who?
The fun police kicked in. The ship won't be called Bodie McBoatface.
Thank you. Someone came to their senses.
Wait a minute. Was that Ben or is that the ship saying that? Thank you.
Well, it was me, but I'm probably sure if the ship could speak.
That's what it was said.
Read the story, Frank.
All right. Democracy is a sham, if you're renaming the boat at least. Despite Bodie McBoatface.
Doing great there, Porky Pig.
Yeah, boat. McBoatface. Winning the public vote as the name of the polar research ship, the vessel will in fact be known as the RSS Sir David Attenborough.
RRS. The Royal Research Ship.
I did say RRS.
You said RSS.
I was thinking the podcasting.
That would be the Royal Steamship.
RRS. Yes. In March, the UK's Natural Environment Research Council opened a poll which asked people of the internet, name this ship.
This $300 million boat.
Yeah. And they asked the internet. Predictably, some proposals were quite silly, but the suggested moniker Bodie McBoatface gained traction and eventually won the poll with 124,109 votes, four times more than the second place RRS Poppy May.
Wait a minute. Now it says that I'm trying to find the one statement there. It opened the poll, which asked people blah 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 blah. Okay, yeah, some proposals were quite silly, as if Bodie McBoatface isn't.
Yes, right.
If that one isn't silly, I don't want to know what the others are.
And it's the gold standard. Anyway, they bottom line is they're not naming the boat that.
No, but there's a good news.
Yes, good news, everyone. They are naming the little remote operated undersea vehicle that is launched from Bodie McBoatface. I'm going to call him that anyway. That's what they're calling it. A little remote. Yeah,
there's a picture. It's one of those little yellow torpedo submarine things.
Yeah, it looks like a torpedo sort of thought.
Democracy is only a sham when the people who do the voting are all idiots.
Oh, that would be the U.S. elections coming
up. I wasn't about to say anything.
It was too easy.
Welcome to America.
You threw it over.
Oh, hey, I lobbed it.
Okay, next story. Buddhist monk gets covered in gold and turned into a statue.
Not while alive, right?
He looks a lot like a melted down Academy Award.
Actually, it looks like Indiana Jones can come in and swap him out for a bag of sand.
A very big bag of sand.
Sorry.
In accordance with his wishes, revered Buddhist monk Fu Hao was mummified upon his death in 2012, but his companions at Changfu Temple in southeastern China felt the need to do something more in order to commemorate his devotion to Buddhism. So they made the decision to cover his body in gold, an honor reserved for the holiest of men. Born in 1919, Fu Hao began practicing Buddhism at the age of 13 and devoted his whole life to it until his death at the age of 94. His peers and disciples remember him as a quiet, compassionate person who meticulously practices beliefs until the very end. Shortly before his death, he had expressed the desire for his body to be preserved. And after passing, two mummification experts were brought in to wash, treat, and place his body in a sitting position inside a large pottery jar. Preservatives like crushed charcoal and sandalwood were stuffed into the jar before it was sealed shut. Okay, now wait a minute. Isn't Buddhist monk supposed to be like leading the very simple life, the humble?
Yeah, that's
leave
what
your
I'm
possessions
having a little,
behind. So
yeah, they're very non-materialistic.
So covering him in gold seems like
I'm having a problem with this one.
Unless that's why it's reserved for only the holiest of men. I don't understand.
I just
Buddhism,
wouldn't think that they would place any value in gold to begin with.
Oh, maybe they don't. And that's why he's covered in it. Could have been covered in chocolate.
Yum.
I can't speak to the Buddhist faith. I have no idea. I don't know. Just it doesn't. You're right. It does seem a little silly.
There was a story a few years ago. I forgot where I watched it on PBS or something about a monk who basically preserved himself. He started years before he died. He was getting quite old, and he changed his diet. And at the end, I think he was eating basically pine needles, and the sap was what really preserved him. They didn't do anything to embalm him. He was kind of self-embalmed by the time.
Oh, far out.
And like the last 2 years, he just sort of sat in this dried out room and kind of desiccated himself to death.
Ew.
And then when he died, it was already done. He hasn't decayed. He's still sitting.
He's done the work for us.
Really? It was really fascinating, the whole process he went through, but it was years and years and years to change his lifestyle to do that. More dedication.
If I tried that, I'd like end up losing my leg but living or something. You
yeah,
know?
That'd be me.
Yeah, it's decayed. you're done.
Got to remove it. You'll be all right, but your leg, no.
All right, we have birthdays this week. We're just going to play this as background music because it's so long. Happy birthday goes out to Andy Helsby of Absabloggin'Lootly. We hope he's still out there doing his thing. Ken Kitzman, a.k.a. Kitz Ken, is also. Both of them are on May 11th. Johanna Gonzalez, a.k.a. Mighty Joe, is on the 13th.
Joe.
Why does it say Pi Day on the 14th? Shouldn't that go March 14th? Did I grab the wrong calendars?
Oops.
Wonderful.
Go to the wiki real quick, Craig, and see when Steve Pruitt's birthday is. Is it May 15th?
How do I go to the wiki, Chuck?
Chuckchat.com/wiki.
Birthday calendar.
Tricky wiki.
And this is April.
Assuming May 5th is Steve Pruitt, and Michelle Lopez, a.k.a. Country Signs, is on the 16th. Steve is on the 15th.
Incorrect. You got the wrong one.
Whoops.
Okay. Go May 11th through May 17th, and who do we get?
We got two.
And it makes a lot shorter list.
And I'm not sure.
I thought these names sounded familiar.
Okay. May 12th is Amanda Hug and Kiss.
Uh-huh.
God.
And on May 14th is JPCJ.
Happy birthday to you. And if it's your birthday in the middle of March, happy birthday to you.
Belated.
Yeah, maybe we didn't have a show that week. We can use that as an excuse, right?
Sure,
yeah, whatever. That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Happy birthday. If you want to get your name on the week, on the birthday calendar, be sure to use the right month.
Amanda Hug and Kiss.
That's a tribute to The Simpsons. One of my favorites.
On the 16th is Macaroni.
Valvoline.
Anita Man.
Seymour Video.
Seymour Video.
Didn't you have to make up fake usernames for your demo data?
Actually, you know what I do? I spell my name backwards, but it looks like it says Jerk Epits.
Gurk. I have comment.
I'm Selrock Izamot.
No comment. Thanks, Ben.
I'm just nebbish.
Nebbish.
We'll take a break and be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories and a whole bunch of other stuff that we have in show notes that we haven't read yet.
If you see Gurk Epits around, I know I'm looking for him.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, pressure, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 a.m. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters. And myth confirmed, you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Hey, Chuck,
I
think that tequila thing, it sounded more like a PSA than...
I know! I was listening to it, and I thought, okay, well, about 30% of that definitely applied to me.
Yeah, I've been there. Wait, I can get pregnant?
You can talk to the opposite sex without spitting? Show me more! Tell me more!
I thought the tequila can make you think you're whispering when you're not.
Guilty.
Yeah, I found that laying around on the Farpoint machine buried down in a folder. Okay. So we think that was a winging it clip that I came up with.
So that also came with the house and Michael left
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not ashamed to steal
I tell you, there's a treasure trove just still waiting, you know, to be found.
We just have to.
Beautiful gems. Just keep going. A bit.
Did Michael move anything?
No, he left it all.
Pretty much. He took his wife.
He
left the rats in the attic. Oh,
rats in your
news flash, Craig. You may not be sleeping in the guest house this weekend.
Oh, man. Okay.
We're doing some extermination. There's rats in the attic.
Oh. That's what I heard.
Yeah, Lisa and Andrew had to leave a little earlier than expected.
Nice.
We knew when we moved to the Southwest, we'd be dealing with new types of pests, thinking snakes and scorpions, but forgot about rats. They moved in.
So you can come here and we can just go worry about possums.
Possums are big rats.
Big rats.
Giant rats.
With nasty pointy teeth. Yeah.
You know, I had,
the good news is we've already caught 4 and I'll go check the traps in the morning.
Well, we got an outside cat that we kind of adopted and, I noticed the food was gone in the morning. Like his bowl was totally clean. Never was. Never has been like that before. Just totally clean. Like, okay. I filled it one morning and I did it again. I was like, okay, something's eating this food. Well, finally, my wife and my son saw it one night. They were up late and they walked by the window. There was a possum sitting there. The cat food. They tapped on, whatever. I saw it one night. I tapped on the glass.
Yep.
It looked up. I tapped on the glass. It looked up, looked around, put its face back in the bowl like nothing happened.
Might as well have given you the middle finger at that point. I had a roommate. He lived in Virginia, and he had a possum rummaging through his backyard, and he takes a baseball bat out to this thing, and he just clobs it over the head. It breaks the baseball bat in half. It turned and looked at him and got pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It charged him. So, but because the bat was wooden, he then stabbed it with all the wooden shards of the bat, and that's how he killed it. But he said it was very disturbing to see this possum get angry and charge him.
Don't mess with raccoons either.
No.
No.
Not a good idea. Would you like to read our 29-year study, Ben?
Oh, sure.
Remember when cell phones were supposed to cause brain cancer?
Yeah, as recently as a year ago.
Okay. Tell us, what has this 29-year study uncovered?
Well, if and by how much cell phones increase the risk of brain cancer is a long and disputed argument. No one study is going to settle anything, but one statistical analysis of data in Australia hints at cell phones being reasonably safe. The study examines the incidence of brain cancer in the Australian population between 1982 and 2013, when they're not having shrimps on the babby. The study pitted the prevalence of mobile phones among the population starting at 0% against brain cancer rates. I was about to say brain cancer rats. Using data from National Cancer Registration data. The results showed a very slight increase in brain cancer rates among males, but a stable level among females. There were significant increases in over 70s, but began in 1982 before cell phones were even a thing. The data matches up with other studies conducted in other countries, but Australia is a particularly excellent example. All diagnosed cases of cancer have to be registered by law, creating consistent data to work with.
Wow. I didn't really know you had to register your cancer.
Well, considering, wow. I dare say it's because melanoma is such a big deal there.
Yeah.
That's okay, probably okay. Why.
Yep.
By the nature of the pardon?
Okay. No, I was just thinking maybe it's like that for research purposes.
It could be. Well, by the nature of the multiple variables, large samples, and very long lead time, for cancer to show up, the cell phone brain cancer conversation is always going to be contentious. But studies like this are increasingly showing that if you really want to be safer, forget your cell phones and look both ways before crossing the road.
That gets back to last week's show.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking the same thing.
I think that was our after show. If you want to be part of that after show, hey, that's for Patreon people. We love you. Thank you very much. We love all our patrons, all 9 of them. They include music. There we go. They include Kyle Nishioka, Chad D, Nick St. Gabriel, Mike Willis, Alex Duran, Steve Therian, Ben Vaughn, Saturday Morning Media. That'd be Grant Pachoco. And Dennis Patnod, thank you very much for helping support this show.
Did you say Nick St. Gabriel?
Nick St. Gabriel. Yeah, I went vertically this time.
I gotcha.
See, I'm mixing it up on you.
Yeah.
So that's, if you want to be part of this, go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast and find us, contribute, donate. We appreciate it. There are other people out there that love you as much as we do, but none of them gives you the secret content like we do.
Yeah, so prove it and show us how much you love us. Prove it.
Have we guilted him into it yet?
we'll work on that campaign.
Right. That must mean it's time for the Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the Media Corner.
I just realized that Ben was on the camera the whole time. We're doing the patron thing.
I'm feeling very awkward.
You need to give me like throw something at me once in a while. Switch the camera, please. Oh yeah, the noisy cricket will do it. Where were we? Media Corner. Xenophobia. That's right.
Xenophobia.
You didn't get my pun at the beginning of the show?
I think this is
Michael Meningay font.
I don't read the show notes ahead of time.
Hey, did you ever think it was weird that Xena and Gabrielle barely shared any screen time on the opening credits sequence of Xena, Warrior Princess?
I think this is all a movement because they don't like people from the Middle East. Think about it. Well, they don't look Lebanese.
Are they supposed to be Lebanese? And Khan was supposed to be a Sikh.
Hey. I'm talking as in, okay, lesbianese.
Oh,
Thank you.
Oh, wait.
Keep up. Come on.
Where's the sad trombone for Chuck? We do what we can.
He's not there to play it for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it turns out that was the studio. A ridiculous studio note. Entertainment Weekly has a story about all the reasons Xena and Gabrielle never got together during the show. They range from story-based, co-creator and executive producer Rob Tapert says they liked the energy between Aris and Xena and didn't want to lose it. To do the general statement that they did as much as they could given the restraints of the network television at the time.
Wasn't it an Australian production, though?
But the detail that stands out the most concerns the opening credits sequence, which gave Universal Television Studio, the studio which produced Xena, some, let's say, concerns. Here's what Taper told Entertainment Weekly. Before we started shooting Xena, we shot the material that we were going to use to create the opening title sequences with. The studio was so concerned that it would be perceived as a lesbian show, not a Lebanese show, that they would not allow us to have Xena and Gabrielle on the same frame of the opening titles. Yeah, given that level of paranoia and straight up homophobia, we're kind of shocked that they managed to get as much past the networks as they did. In case you were wondering, Xena and Gabrielle share the frame in one part of the opening titles, but they're facing different directions. So I guess that counts as subversive, given Universal's completely ridiculous rule, right?
Well, you know what's funny? Remember when Mythbusters came on? Everybody assumed that Jamie and Adam were gay.
They did?
Yes. I saw it everywhere. They would ask Adam, you know, if they were together. It's like, no, they're, well, Adam wasn't married when the show started, but no, Jamie was.
Huh.
They're like, no, just because they're two guys doing a TV show in San Francisco doesn't necessarily.
Well, so were the screensavers.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of funny that they were trying to avoid that. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But you know, I watch Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
And it's like sometimes when they, I don't know, it seems like they're kind of not pandering, but using that, you know, two females kissing as a show, hey, we're progressive, and they put it right in front of you as opposed to the time when it wasn't a thing like this.
Mm. Kind of, no
you
comment.
Don't think so?
I don't think they're pandering.
I mean, not necessarily. Pandering is probably not the right word. I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know. It seems like,
hey, watch Game of Thrones.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's in your face. All righty. We are back to the Blues Brothers. One of my favorite movies. And it used to be like on TBS every other weekend. But we haven't seen it in a while. They're on a mission from God.
Damn it.
Yes, they are serious. Dan Aykroyd and Judy Belushi, John Belushi's widow, are turning iconic Saturday Night Live skit turned classic movie, The Blues Brothers, into primetime animated TV show.
Ooh.
Craig, were you at the House of Blues last year?
Yes.
The Thursday night party? They did a pretty good job with The Blues Brothers.
They did a good job.
Sounded like them, looked like them, except
they weren't.
John Belushi's sideburns kept falling off because he was too sweaty. Anyway, Bento Box, the company behind Bob's Burgers, is producing the show, which it hopes to start shopping to networks in the fall, with music playing a huge role. The series chronicles the music, mayhem, and comedy adventures of Jake and Elwood Blues, along with the characters within their master blues band. Can you name any of the band?
No.
There was Lou Marini.
I've only seen the movie once.
Well, you listen to the albums?
No.
Oh.
I was never a Blues Brothers fan.
Okay. I just heard somebody's name in the news. Or maybe it was at church. Who has the name of one of the band members, and that's all I could think of.
Duck, what was his name?
Anyway. It's going to be great to accelerate Jake and Elwood at digital speed into the 21st century via the outstanding creative group at Bento Box, Aykroyd said in the press release. The show will be the Blues Brothers, living in America and utilizing all new technology to make and promote their own records. Seek out and record new artists, strange and new worlds. Seek out new civilizations and strange new worlds. And avoid law enforcement. And all while fighting the truth, justice, and a better breakfast sandwich.
To me, this has disaster written all over it.
It's one of those franchises you just leave alone.
You leave it alone because... I mean, whether you like Blues Brothers or not, the simple fact is that Aykroyd and Belushi had enormous chemistry.
Yeah.
And the director's name just went out of my head. Who did that?
That wasn't John.
Yeah. Animal House.
Yeah. Think.
Him.
The Michael Jackson Thriller.
Yes.
Guy.
Him.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow.
I know who it is. I can't think of the
John,
name.
John something.
John Landis.
John Landis.
John Landis.
Thank you.
Oh, American Werewolf in London.
American Werewolf in London. Yeah. Twilight Zone. Ooh, sorry. Too soon. But in any case, there was something very just great chemistry. It was a very magical moment when they created that to try and replicate that in any form. I mean, okay, it's fine to have skits, you know, people that are doing performances on stage, you know, that are masquerading them as the Blues Brothers. That's one thing.
Yes.
But to create a series where you're going to have a bunch of stories about the misadventures of Jake and Elwood just does not seem like it can work.
It could have 30 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think it worked today at all.
You know what? They did try. Remember the Blues Brothers 2000 or whatever it was?
Yeah. That didn't work.
Oh, is that like Galactica 1980?
Yeah.
They should have just dropped it. Yeah, they should have just dropped it right there. Forget it.
But it's somebody without an original idea who wants to try and cash in on something that was a big hit in its day. Problem is that it needs to stay where it came from.
Ferris Bueller, senior citizen.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. leave Ferris in the 80s.
This is one of those things that did not need any other iteration of it other than just what it was at the time.
Yeah, even the sequels were terrible.
We could come up with a whole bunch of bad properties redone.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my hover chair out into the parking lot.
Hey, I did have a good idea for Ferris Bueller as an adult, but I guess...
Is he dead?
I see a radio play in my future. Hey, maybe...
Oh, we did it again. I was looking at the play clock going, we didn't finish the show in 35 minutes. We forgot the Hacks and Strange Stories again.
Whoops.
How many times have we done that? Alrighty. Where's the electro beep? There it is. Okay.
There it is. Okay.
These two stories just crack me up. I think lawyers are having
this again.
Again, you've heard this story before.
Well, if this is the same guy, I think it is. He's been trying to file for a restraining order against God for years. If this is the same guy, because we talked about this idiot on Slice.
Wow. Okay. Then I want to play a part of this. Let's speak of rehashing old properties.
Does he want God to quit meddling in the affairs of men?
A man who claims God has been unkind to him tried to file a restraining order against him in an Israeli court and was denied that restraining order for being a crazy person.
Okay.
Also, if you successfully get a restraining order against God, how are you supposed to get into heaven?
How do you serve it? Short of killing yourself.
Hey, and the one time you need God, hey, sorry.
He's going to get to the pearly gate. He's going to go, sorry, sir, you weren't even supposed to get in 100 yards of this because you have a restraining order, says St. Peter. The judge tossed out the request, calling it ludicrous, the Times of Israel reports. Wouldn't that be, you know, I'm sorry, I just had a crazy name for a newspaper in Israel, like The Scroll.
No!
The man from the northern port city of Haifa. I hope I said that right. Abner will correct us if it's wrong. He represented himself in court. He said he'd been trying to get the restraining order from police for the last 3 years. The man claimed God exhibited a negative attitude toward him. Well, tell that to the people walking around in the desert. Local reports didn't explain exactly how he knew that. Bizarrely, the notes did state that God did not appear in the courtroom. Be amazed if he did. Hey, is that a bush on fire out in the parking lot?
No, it's George Burns.
Oh.
George Burns.
We need to get the rim shot. I'm just not fast enough with these things.
It's John Denver. John Denver. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but John Denver wasn't God.
Wait, the court says God did not appear in the courtroom? I think this guy might be able to file for a mistrial because God is everywhere. He was definitely in that courtroom. He is also in the room with me right now, watching me podcast this. No, just kidding. He abandoned me a long time ago. Oh, boy.
It's got a... It deserves to be written by Douglas Adams.
I want to see the countersuit to this where another guy sues the devil or gets a restraining order against the devil. Let's see how that works out for you. Wait. I'm an atheist. I want a restraining order against nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's say God filed a counterclaim.
God has better lawyers. Stay away. No, wait. Right. All the lawyers went to hell. He doesn't have any. Oh, wait. We're going there. I'm sorry. Oh, and Craig's the one who's been drinking tonight, not me.
I only had one beer. I had a stupid place. I got the wings, and we were there for like over an hour, and I finally got the beer. Craig, a beer.
Craig, is your job boring?
Not this week.
We had a little pre-show discussion. Craig had a bit of a crisis to deal with.
Yeah, blood pressure got... Oh, man, my doctor would have been flipping out if he saw my blood pressure at that point. Hey,
you dodged a bullet there, buddy.
Yeah, sure.
It's sort of like the doctor saying, you're going to die next week. Oh, sorry, wrong file.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
But you don't know that for a few hours.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a boring job?
I used to work at a convenience store. Darn tedious.
Ben, you want this one?
Oh, sure.
Have you had a boring job?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. Well, most employees.
The current one he's got. It's on LinkedIn if you want to see.
No, it is anything but boring. I suffer from the same hypertension issues as you. Well, most employees complain of being overburdened at work. Me! One Frenchman is suing his former employer for not giving him enough to do. According to Frédéric Desnard, his job as a manager at a perfume company, Interparfum, had him suffer a bore out between the years of 2010 and 2014. He's now seeking 360,000 euros, or approximately $400,000, in compensation and damages.
Wow.
Desnard told Agence France-Presse that during his stint with the company, he was given tasks that had nothing to do with his original responsibilities, leaving him destroyed with serious depression.
No, you have to do that with a French accent.
With destroyed and with serious depression.
Hey, screw this guy. I worked in IT my whole life.
Nothing boring about that.
No.
No. It's left me destroyed with serious depression.
Yeah. Well, he claimed that the lack of stimulation at work even triggered an epileptic fit one time while he was driving.
He was running around in ellipses.
Yeah.
I think your lips are having a never mind.
Thank you.
Didn't quite work that
way. No,
like
it didn't.
No, I'm having a fit.
Yeah. Anyway, he was then signed off work for 7 months, and the company later used his prolonged absence that disturbed the smooth working as an excuse to fire him in September of 2014. I went to depression, he said. I was ashamed to be paid to do nothing. That was so Cousteau. The worst part of it was denying this suffering. Okay.
It goes on.
It just rambles.
If you weren't doing anything and you weren't happy, just quit. Go do something else. Right.
If you got nothing going on, read a book.
There's always a way to improve yourself.
It took him 4 years to figure this out.
He was too depressed.
At least he wasn't that guy that went around to his coworkers and irritated the heck out of them because he had nothing to do, but we're trying to get work done.
Yeah.
Everybody knows somebody like that.
Mm. Hey, how was your weekend
last week?
I'm working. Oh, ring,
I'm
ring.
Sorry.
There's my cell phone. I gotta go.
I'm God sorry.
God just filed
didn't
a countersuit
to
towards
you.
This guy, too.
What'd you say?
God filed a suit against this guy as well.
You're not a productive member of society. I'm not taking you.
Yeah, get a judge's order to do some work.
Now, that takes us to the end of the show. Yes.
Wait, I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
And I was kind of asked this weekend as we were hiking. And I didn't have a solid answer, but I did find the answer. Are you ready?
Ready.
Are GPS satellites geosynchronous or not?
Oh, I
honestly don't know the answer to that.
I thought they were.
I thought they were,
but I don't think they have to be.
I don't think they need to be. I mean, I think if you've got enough of them in orbit now,
which there are.
They're all kind of networked together, so where one kind of falls off due to being, you know, past the event horizon or anything like that, then another one will pick it up.
Yeah, some of the GPSs will tell you how many satellites they're connected to, and it's 7, 8, 9 at any one time.
So I don't think they are. I mean, maybe at one time they needed to be, but if you've got enough up in orbit, not anymore.
So what's the answer?
They are not.
Woohoo!
Yeah, okay.
I thought they were because my thinking was they were geosynchronous and they're just sending a time signal down to the Earth. And of course, when you're with a GPS, you go, okay, I got not necessarily just a time signal, but some kind of encoded signal that knows that this satellite A, for example, you know, is here and you're, and then you kind of triangulate yourself.
Well, I would imagine, you know, daisy chain them, you know, wirelessly, so to speak. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're all on some sort of mesh web network.
Yeah,
thing.
They're on some kind of web.
It's just for them moving, it seemed like it added another variable that probably should.
No, I wouldn't think so, because they
now with the computing power that they've got now these
right,
days.
Right, and the accuracy. The thing that proves Einstein's theory of relativity is GPSs. They have to compensate. They're further away from the Earth.
They got
to
move faster.
Well, they got to move faster. They also have a time dilation difference between the people on the Earth and the satellite out in space.
Yeah, because those waves are going to be traveling at the speed of light, so it's not instantaneous.
Right. But it's also the gravity of the Earth is a factor. Anyway, I'll let the real scientist
I gotta think about
better.
That one.
Yeah, they have to build in.
Brain.
They have to build in the factor to compensate for.
But how would gravity affect the light?
No, gravity's not affecting
signal.
The light.
I mean, it would, how would it affect the light? The signal, because if the signal is traveling at the speed of light,
time is traveling different for the satellite than it is for us. Remember the story about this astronaut
true.
That went
that's
off
true,
in
because
space?
It, because it is moving a little bit faster. That's right, because it is moving a bit faster. Time is going just a tiny bit slower.
Yep.
I forgot
tiny,
about that.
Tiny bit.
Just a bit, enough.
I'm curious about the signal that they actually send down. What's in that to make it for the thing to go, okay, I know, I guess that the satellite name and its position, and then it knows where this one's at and that one's at, and then it kind of figures out where you're at.
I don't know.
I'm going to go figure this out because it got me thinking, and I was like, well, how would I build this if I was putting it together?
You know, you need to go to the source of all truth, and it's called the internets.
Well, Wikipedia. I am on Wikipedia. on Wikipedia.
All gospel truth can be found on Wikipedia. It never lies.
Never.
Hey,
never.
Siri, how do GPSs work?
She never beeped. Oh.
Thanks, Siri.
Let me think. Here's what I found on the web for how do GPSs work.
It said GPS is work.
Okay, now let's bring Android into it. How do GPS satellites work?
According to Garmin, a GPS receiver must be locked onto the signal of at least 3 satellites to calculate a 2D position and track movement. With 4 or more satellites in view, the receiver can determine the user's 3D position.
With 5 or more satellites, it's a conspiracy.
It's a murder.
And everybody's jumping around going, kill, kill. Oh, sorry. Had myself.
Kill, kill, kill.
Thank you for picking up on Alice's restaurant.
Anyway, I want to thank my buddy Jason Jones for bringing that up.
Okie doke.
And extracting $50 from me.
Craig gave, Craig gave us
a truth
question.
Comes out.
And we give you a question, gentle listener. If you got to go to the geekiest place on Earth, we're staying here on planet side.
Wow.
Where would it be? Where is your geekiest place?
The Computer History Museum was pretty good.
That was pretty good. I have one in mind.
Google?
I got to think about this one.
Yep. Now, don't worry about things like political climate or... Yep, maybe we even introduce time travel into this and say, when would you go to the geekiest time?
LHC.
The LHC, huh?
That's a possibility. Hey,
Leipzig, Germany is a pretty geeky place.
Yeah.
A lot of history there. Music and history and maths and...
And Avengers just beating the crap out of each other.
They went to Leipzig?
It's at the airport.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think we'll end it. We got one more final. Yes.
Technorama is the geekiest place on Earth.
It's not a place.
It is. Beg to differ.
It is a place. Chuck, you were there.
Oh, the Technorama Swiss Science
oh,
Center.
Oh, that place.
I thought you were talking about like the binary studio what are you, an electron in multiple places at once?
Technorama, it's a figurative place. It's a state of mind. How about that?
It's a state of mind, all right.
Yeah, which state?
State of insanity, of course.
Vegetative.
State of confusion. Land of confusion. Genesis. Oh, sorry. Anyway, just random thought after random thought tonight. There is no show next week for May 18th. Craig and I are going to be at a work conference.
Yay.
But we are going to be getting more material for the show for you. Thank you very much, Ben.
My pleasure.
For showing up. Always fun to have you here. And we appreciate your support. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, answer our question about the geekiest place on Earth, 707-530-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. And email us at technoramachuckchat.com. Fix the birthday calendar at chuckchat.com/wiki. You know where all this stuff is. We're usually around on Sunday nights, but we had to postpone because someone was out hiking and got a little tired. Oh, mm-hmm. Did I say that out loud? Anyway.
I challenge you.
Till next time.
I forfeit
time.
That challenge.
Give me a binary high five, Craig.
I'm going to say scroll down to the show notes. Oh, here it is. 101.
Thank you, sir.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.